excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this spring practice edition of Excuse Me for My Voices on the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford talking to you on the way home from the final spring practice on April 26th. First couple of overall notes. The team actually practiced in their game uniforms today. I guess it was some sort of picture day that they would be taking pictures later after the practice or something like that. So the defense was in the blue uniforms and the offense was in the gold. There was also a very large crowd on hand, easily a couple hundred people, and it continued to grow as the day progressed. Practice started at 9 a.m. officially, although they didn't start into the non-stretching part of practice until 9:30. And actually, practice lasted really long until almost noon. I think it was 5 to the hour when they finally huddled up for final instructions. There's only one guy in the field who wasn't in his uniform, and that was Nate Longshore. He was wearing a red shirt and workout clothes, where even the other guys who were red shirt players were wearing regular uniforms like Javid Best. After stretching and warm-ups and that sort of thing, they did about a half hour of individual or unit drills, practicing various techniques and tackling and that sort of thing, all emphasizing, you know, the fundamentals. They do a lot of that in every practice, but I felt the half hour that they did this time at the beginning was particularly long. Maybe how it was a bit different than the other practices. Generally, they tended to alternate back and forth between scrimmage and drills and scrimmage and drills, where today they seem to do all of the drills and individual man-on-man stuff first, and then they built up to scrimmaging towards the end. Today, more than in other practices, I talked a lot with the other reporters who cover the Bears, Jonathan O'Kanes, Rusty Simmons, those sorts. Saw Chris Avery there as well, overheard some of his conversations. And one of the things that struck me is just how much is variable this year. There's a lot of young people and a lot of question marks, and you don't get the sense from listening to the fans talk that next season is a rebuilding year, but in every other classical definition of the term, that's exactly what this year is. Now, I'm not one to cap the limit of a team and say they can only go so far, but I think it's important to note that this team is young and this team is green, and a middle of the Pac-10 performance may actually be in line with what expectations will be, at least from the media, at the beginning of the season. After the half hour of individual drills, they did about 15 minutes of what I call single team drills, where the entire offense runs through a play, but there's no defense on the other side of the ball. They're just running through the plays. And defense does the same thing independently. And that allows them to focus on formations and that sort of stuff without worrying about the hard hitting and all that type of stuff that you get in a true scrimmage. They also did some special team drills early on in an individual fashion. Brian Anger continues to be one heck of a punter, just booming the ball farther than really I think I've ever seen a Cal punter do. So he's one to be very excited about, and I think he's going to do well. Overall, this was a pretty enthusiastic practice. You could tell that it was a culmination of a month's worth of work, that these players were excited to now be done and moving on to their off-season workouts, and generally there was a very upbeat feel. Tedford confirmed that after the end of practice, that he felt chemistry this year was very good, and that was a very positive thing, and probably the main thing he looks at as the positive from this spring practice. And so there was the hooping and hollering that you would expect from a team that's in that situation. It's interesting to see Rulon Davis really trying to rile the defense up and the team up and to be a leader in that way that maybe there wasn't last year. So after that really full hour of individual drills, I didn't cover everything. There were some other things there, man-on-man drills, that sort of thing. They started into a scrimmage. The scrimmage was a lot like the open practice that a number of people went to, including myself, with referees there, the players on the sidelines, and down markers and all that sort of thing that you would see in a regular game. Most of the time when they scrimmage during practice, they actually have the players behind, so on the field, but behind the play, so that they can view it from that angle. And, of course, there's no referees and stuff like that. But today, even though in theory it was a closed practice, and I don't know how close 200 people is, but it, nevertheless, it looked a lot like the scrimmage that they had a couple Saturdays ago that was open to the public. Some notes from those scrimmaging. On defense, there was a lot of barking orders, a lot of situations where it was clear various defenders were out of position, and leaders on the defense were having to bark orders to get people to get where they're supposed to go. That's not necessarily a good thing, although it can speak well to the leadership on the team of bringing the young guys up to speed. Another thing that I noticed along those lines of not necessarily being a good thing is there's a lot of clapping and cheering from the fans when the offense makes a big play. And since we're scrimmaging offense versus defense, it's not necessarily a good thing that the offense blew open a big play. I mean, there are times when it is the result of the offense doing a very good job, but it could equally as likely mean that the defense did a very poor job. And it really takes a very good trained eye to see what's the real answer to why it was a big play, or in the same why it was not a big play. You have to know the strengths of the players involved to know whether the fact that, you know, he was able to bowl someone over, is that a sign that that person being bowled over was weak, or is it a sign that, you know, we know he's a good tackler, but the offensive guy did a good job of hitting him hard anyway. So something to remember whenever you see practices or you hear reports from practice about big plays on offense or weak performances on offense, it doesn't necessarily, or strong plays on defense is usually how it would be phrased, it doesn't necessarily indicate what you think. On the second team offense, I saw some bad routes run by some of the receivers. That was one of the things that disappointed me. The first string wide receivers, Michael Calvin, Jeremy Ross, Nyan Boateng, all of these players have done very, very well and have come a long way as far as their route running. And I think actually, despite their youth, they're going to be a strong unit in the fall. The second team offense, the wide receivers, did not look nearly as strong. Riley had a pretty good practice today, making most of his throws and putting them where they should be. He didn't force too many balls into the wrong spots. He threw behind his receivers a few times, but most of them were catchable. And maybe a disappointment with the receivers I saw was they weren't really making those extra efforts to pick up the balls that, while they weren't put in exactly the right spot, they needed to be catching. But generally speaking, Riley had good touch, throwing the ball to the right receivers, not throwing it to double coverage. I mean, of course, there was an instance or two of that, but overall, he was doing pretty well. Also who did well was Brock Manson. He had a great practice. Yes, he's still raw. Yes, he's not a starter waiting to happen. But I think with another year on the bench, if for some reason we lost Riley, he could be a starter in 2009. On the defensive side of the ball, they're still always playing out of the 3-4. Whether this is just a case where they wanted to practice that all spring to see just how effective it could be and then reevaluate after practice whether it was a good idea or whether it was a case of they know they're going to make the switch and they wanted to implement it fully as possible early, I'm not sure. But in any case, almost the entire spring practice was with the 3-4. A defensive player who has potential but really wasn't quite there, I think, is Charles Johnson, number 43. he seemed to be in a lot of plays, but then was also making some young mistakes. As an example, he missed an easy interception on an out route. The ball zinged right by him, but he was looking at the receiver, not looking into the quarterback, and so he missed what would have been a pick six because he wasn't looking in the right spot. But he's there a lot, and so I think he's someone who, down the road, is going to be very good. Sidquan Thompson continues to be an excellent cornerback. I really think the one thing he could do to improve at this point is to focus on his ability to actually pick off the ball. He's there, he bats the ball away, he does a lot of great things, but he's not taking that next leap to intercept it to be a Damien Hughes who's going to have 5-plus interceptions in one season. Nevertheless, he's a great corner in the making, particularly in his defensive ability. He batted away a number of pretty well-thrown balls and managed to get in there and make something, even on routes that weren't his to cover. He has that presence of mind these days to know when to look for the ball and jump off of his route and get in there. The defense continued to be very strong in getting into the backfield and getting pressure on the quarterback or hitting the running back in the backfield. I'm not sure if this is because the offensive line is not picking up their assignments or what the story is, but the defense has pretty much been the winner of the line of scrimmage battle in the last couple weeks. There were times the running game was working pretty well. Slocum had a number of big gainers between the tackles. Vereen, actually, now fully back in practice, was doing well as well. But the defense was making it difficult for them, was getting them in the backfield before they could get started on a number of plays, or really limiting the size of the holes they could run through. So there were a lot of very short runs, and even though Vereen and Slocum were doing well, it was against a line that was stacked against them. For the most part, along those lines, screen passes were doing very poorly. I think because the defensive line was winning the battle, they also were able to sniff out those screenplays pretty well, and easily half of the screenplays didn't even work or develop properly. In fact, there was an interception off of one of those that really ignited the crowd because the player's parents were in the crowd, and they were very excited to see their player pick things off. It was number 77, Michael Costanzo, who's a sophomore, so pretty young on the team. One area Brock Manson was doing particularly well was on the rollout patterns, where he was running away from pressure, so the defensive line wasn't getting to him, and then they'd be sneaking either a tight end or a crossing wide receiver out there for him to throw to. And it was one of those clearing route type of situations, and they went for a long way. One was a nice touchdown run, another was a 15-20 yard gainer, and he was really in sync hitting those receivers in stride, even though he was throwing on the run. So I think he's one of those quarterbacks who has a good shot of being fairly mobile and completing passes while he's mobile. There was another play where he had to kind of buy time and really slide up in the pocket and then slide along the line of scrimmage without crossing it, and then threw a really nice pass to a young fullback named John Tynell. But unfortunately, Tynell dropped the ball. But nevertheless, Manson did a great job with it, and it was really impressive. So he's coming along. I think he's still raw, but he'll get there, and I think someday he's going to be a pretty good QB. Follett had a great practice, another one who was getting in the backfield a lot, along with Rulon Davis. The two of them were disrupting more running plays than just about anyone else. Another player that continues to impress is Michael Gertz, fullback. He caught a nice pass for a touchdown. So overall, there's a lot of young talent that's making its move, but it's important to remember, this is a young team. This is not a senior-laden team, and it'll be interesting to see how much they can develop between now and the fall, and then again when the season starts. Some final overall thoughts on spring practice. I really do think this team came a long way in spring practice, and that really they should be proud of their accomplishments and where they went to. I think Tedford was happy. They're still a long way from being a game-ready team, but that's to be expected. This is spring ball. Dubosky is another one of those players who's in the mix. We really didn't see anything on the quarterback battle between Longshore and Riley. Tedford, when asked about it, was very clear that they're not making a decision yet. They're not even interested in making a decision yet. And the fact that Longshore spent most of the practice out with a shoulder injury didn't concern him at all and didn't at all affect who's going to get the job in the fall. As I've said before, I really think the job is closer to Longshore's than it is to Riley's, but it's very much an open competition. So per request, I was able to interview Nyan Boateng today, as well as I have some quotes from Tedford wrapping up spring practice. Those will be immediately after this podcast wraps up. Thank you for listening. You'll probably see a couple more podcasts between now and fall ball. I will pick up these type of podcasts again in the fall as well as during the season. So thanks as always for listening, and make sure to hold on for Boateng and Tedford's quotes.
Is there any one or two things that you learned this spring that stick out?
Learned that I'm really happy with the team chemistry, the way we're working together, the way the attitude of the team, the focus, the camaraderie, all very positive.
Who are a couple players who had a real good spring in your mind?
A lot of people did. Guys that stick out. I'd have to say Michael Calvin did a great job. Michael Calvin and Boateng made tremendous strides at their positions. I thought Tad Smith did an excellent job at tight end with the position move until he got hurt last week. I thought he was doing a nice job. Thought some of the young guys on the defensive line doing a good job. I was impressed with the way Scott Smith played. I was impressed with Ernie at times. I was impressed with the linebacking core. DJ Holt really stood out. But it kind of goes on and on. A lot of guys did a lot of good things. Brian Anger, don't forget about Brian Anger, you know, punting. That was a bright spot for sure.
Did the receivers, especially Calvin and Nyan, even this last week, make some strides? It seemed like last week they did.
Big time, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think when things started slowing down for them mentally, they were able to play. I think as you install plays all through the spring, you know, there's a lot on their mind. And then, when they can just cut it loose, they know exactly where they're lined up, they're sure about what they're doing, things like that, they can play unconscious. And that's the key.
I mean, you said that the quarterback wouldn't be settled until the fall, but the fact that Nate wasn't able to play for most of it, did that kind of change how you evaluate or set you back at all as far as the evaluation process?
Not at all. Nate was doing a great job his first week. He really showed well. Kevin did a nice job through spring. Brock got better as the spring went along. And, so same thing. We're going to go through the summer and we're going to go through fall camp and kind of see how it shakes down through fall camp.
Still in no hurry to name a guy there, are you?
No, not at all. We're in good shape. We have two very good quarterbacks and a young guy who's got a lot of ability as well. So we feel like we're in good hands at the quarterback position.
Jeff, does the size you have a receiver allow you to call plays that maybe you wouldn't have called in the past?
Yes, especially on the goal line. More than anything, the physical part of their play when it comes to blocking, on the perimeter, where our guys before, they would try to block, but they sometimes they didn't hold up just because of the stature of them. Where now, you're talking about guys who are 6'3", 6'4", 210, 215, so they're good-sized guys.
Coach, a little off topic. It's a draft today. It's obviously a big day for the program. How big is it in terms of recruiting that you could use a tool like that and you have a lot of guys that go into that?
Well, it plays a role in recruiting, no question. But just for those guys' sake, just really hoping that everything works out for all those guys. They've all done a lot for our program, and we're excited about their next step. And so we wish them well, every single one of them, to today and tomorrow.
What's your best guess in terms of how far along Best will be in his recovery when you start camp?
When we start in the fall?
Yeah.
He'll be 100%.
He'll be okay.
Yeah, he was, you know, he did a lot of things through the spring as far as running and cutting and things like that. He's feeling really good. And so we'd expect that as we get through the summer program, that he's going to be 100% ready to go.
For Rivals, we do a lot of fan site stuff. We got a lot of fan interest type of things.
Okay.
And they wanted me to talk to you. How does it make you feel?
That's so good. Good.
A lot of interest from Cal fans.
That, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I know there's a lot of buzz going on. Everybody want to know what's going on with me. You know, but it's good though. I'm putting in the work to show them something this season.
How do you feel your spring went overall?
I mean, overall, man, I think I did pretty good, you know, coming in and learning the system. You know, I feel good about where I'm at, but I'm not ready for game yet, but I'm close.
Tedford also just said that, you know, you're one of the players who came a long way in spring. Is that a good feeling as well?
Yeah, that's a great feeling, man, you know, because he always hard on me. So for him to say that, man, you know, that means I did a great job. You know, I'm excited about that.
What would you say are some of the hardest things in spring that was toughest for you?
I've been in college for 3 years, you know, I've been going through it, so there was nothing really tough for me, you know, just, you know, learning the plays and just making plays, you know. I just wanted to come out here and prove to them that I could play in college and I could be a guy for them.
And where do you think was easiest or maybe you were strongest?
As far as the easy part, I would say, like, you know, one-on-ones and, you know, again, the missed drill. I don't know if you saw it today. The open field drill, just making guys miss. You know, that's what I do best. So, all that stuff, man.
Do you see yourself as a leader on the team, or you think you're going to take more of a young role? Or
I mean, I'm a leader. You know, I'm a natural-born leader. But as far as right now, you know, I haven't been here that long. So, you know, there's guys that are invested in this program who's taking leadership. So, I'm just, you know, I'm supporting them and, you know, actually, I'm a leader for the wide receiver group, so, you know, as far as anything that those guys need, you know, I'll be able to help them with, you know, stuff like that. But I'm kind of taking a back seat, you know, role, you know.
Who are the leaders you look up to on the team?
I would say, like, Rulon Davis, you know, he's doing a great job. Guys, Alex Mack, you know, for the offense, Kevin Riley, Nate Longshore, you know, those guys. Yeah, Morel Williams, you know. I mean, everybody, every position group have their leaders, you know, guys that who's going to speak up in their meeting rooms. But as far as overall for the team, you know, it's always like Rulon Davis or Alex Mack.
Talk about the difference in the environment at Cal compared to the other schools you've been at.
Oh, man, it's different, you know. Like, Florida, you know, it was, you know, traditional school. You know, they love the football. You know, if it was today, it would be packed, like 70,000 or probably better. But here, it's just more like, you know, I like it here, actually, because, you know, it's more than just football, you know, to people. And a lot of people are really focused on academics and, you know, and football is kind of second. So, which is pretty cool. It's not a lot of distractions.
And you've been doing some punt returning as well. How hopeful are you might be doing that during the games?
Well, they definitely like me returning, but I think I'm going to go ahead and just give it to Saquon. Right now, he's doing a great job of filling it. You know, I still got some things I got to work on with that, but I'm probably going to be returning kickoffs, if not punt return. At some point, I'm going to be returning, so.